please explain why you emphasize that nonprofits need to focus more on systems and business practices based on your experience, particularly as ED of the Colorado AIDS Project? Just talk about that a little more, give some examples.
Sure. Well, when I first became the executive director, I had come up from within. And we were a tremendous organization, and Colorado AIDS Project still is. And at the time, it was a 3.5 million-plus organization that was really still running business-wise as though it was running out of the basement of a church at, like, a grassroots level. So what I mean by that is our programs were solid. We had good government grants. We were doing good work. But we didn't have any policies and procedures in place. Different people, depending on the day, were fixing the copy machine, were putting together the agenda for the board meetings, were locking the door, were picking up the mail, our supervising was inconsistent. Things were not consistent, and they weren't strategically aimed toward excellence. It was kind of about how that day happened to go, what the day looked like, and who was there, who was filling the seats, as to how the experience of our clients might be or how the experience of our staff might be when working with a manager. And what I really believe was when we got those policies and procedures in place, then we could strategically say, okay, here's the goals that we're aiming for. We're aiming toward excellence, and we're going to do it consistently every day by making sure these are the roles we have, these are the different practices we're going to make sure we're following in these ways, and here are the people in charge of these different tasks. If I'm walking in, and this happened to me one day, I'm walking into the office after a meeting as executive director, and I'm spending the next few hours fixing the copy machine, calling the plumber, and trying to work out a delivery for our food bank, that's not the right use of my time or the resources for the organization. So we really needed to make sure what I call we were getting the legs underneath the table, meaning we had the programs going pretty well, but we did not have the stability or the policies and procedures or systems in place to make sure we were being excellent and consistent every single day.
I love that example. I love that in your book. It just seemed like you were just trying to get your feet on the ground.
Yeah, and I think that's what happens to all of us in the sector is there's so many fires we're putting out every day. Uh-huh. And if we lose sight of the goals and we don't have systems in place, we will be reactive. And frankly, the nonprofit we're in and the mission we're fighting for is too important to be reactive. We need to be proactive and be very intentional with the work that we're doing and which tasks each of us are taking on and how it's divided up to make sure it's done fairly and it's done with excellence in mind toward a goal every day. But we get overwhelmed, we get frustrated by those pillars, by the money and by all the things we have going on and all the different people who need us, and we feel crunched. And so we just get through the day, and then we at some point we shut down the email and then probably put it back up when we get home. But really we need to be more intentional on that because the mission is so important.
So you provide so many specific examples of even little systems that you put in place, not major ones. Can you just give one quick example of how you fixed something with a system?
Sure. Well, I can tell you one of the things that our finance side wasn't too thrilled about and our auditors weren't too thrilled about is our controls around the mail. So we would get lots of donations checks, lots of donor checks and funder checks. And this happens a lot with organizations big and small. The person picking up the check might be the same person logging the check, might be the same person bringing it to the bank. Well, that's not very well controlled. We're not saying anybody's bad here, but a different person needs to pick up the mail, then opens up the checks, then logs it, then brings it to the bank to show that we're having different people. This is a very little example, but it really weighed on us. And so we put in policies and procedures, not asking someone to do us a favor by picking up the mail, but intentionally in whose job description is picking up the mail every morning, and in whose job description is opening the checks and logging them into our accounting system, and then who takes the deposits to the bank. And then we could show the auditor, look at the controls we have. And by the way, not just to show the auditor, but to make sure we were in a good place and doing the best practice that protected us. So that's just one example of how we could make sure that we were doing things with excellence, keeping ourselves out of risk, and also not every day wondering who is going to get the mail, which is often what happens. Or someone, we wind up asking people for favors. Well, this isn't about doing favors. This is about everybody coming together and doing the job that they were hired to do. So that's how we went and fixed that situation.
Thank you so much for providing that. Did you feel like it was a challenge to convince your staff to go forward with these systems, or how did you do that?
Oh, yeah. I think one of the other major things in the book is You know, it's not, this is not a popular statement, but if you're leading a nonprofit and you're doing it in a business way, you're not going to be popular. You're certainly not going to be popular with everybody, because why do people join? Because they love the mission and they care about the mission. And if you're running it like a business, you're making hard choices. Sometimes you're looking at the budget and saying, this isn't going to work anymore. Or you're looking at trends and saying, we need to do this new thing, which means we can't do that older thing. Or you're holding people accountable. And when you come in and you enforce things like policies and procedures, which are not fun. I mean, I just remember, and I think this is in the book, that whether I changed the timesheet format or the mission statement, I got tears. Because people are so invested in their everyday of a nonprofit because they love that mission so much. And so the way I did it was I would explain the changes to staff, and I would certainly get input as appropriate, but sometimes you just had to make some decisions, and explain the reason why. In the beginning, I forgot to explain the reason why. I thought it just was so obvious, but I quickly learned it was important to let people know why we were making these decisions. And sometimes people would say, okay, and sometimes people would say, I don't understand and I don't like it. And I would have to say, I know you don't like it. I understand that, and we need to do it anyway. And by doing that, you know, we'd listen and sometimes tweak along the way. I had someone tell me we integrated a policy where you couldn't do personal mail. You couldn't do personal email. This is when email was still a little bit new and you couldn't access it through everywhere. And he said, but that's how I reach my family. And I said, but that's not your job here. And so we can't make an exception for you. And boy, did I, you know, that was not a popular thing to say. But in running like a business and ensuring consistency and excellence, the good for, you know, those who are performing and doing it anyway will feel buoyed because they know that they're being honored for that. It's when we do a lot of case by case and don't hold people accountable and don't enforce change with everyone that we weaken as an organization, and then our solid performers become resentful and leave. So it's hard. It's hard to be a nonprofit leader. It's hard to be a nonprofit leader and create change and implement it and hold people accountable because it's very personal and very passionate. And so not everybody's going to like you no matter how much you explain your reasoning. And that's why you have to have a really good system outside of your job that can support you, because you can't get that inside.
And again, you cover that in the book so well.